Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet. Yes, you already knew that. We talk about your real issues. Challenges that men face. I don't know why. I just realized they already know that.
On the internet.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just going to change this completely, man. Welcome, man. You've come to that place where, yes, we do talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. And you'll hear topics that you won't necessarily hear from the pulpit and discussed and comes from our own experiences, what we believe the Bible says, and just being honest about things. So anyway, I'm glad you're here. Today we have a topic that you guys may sit there and think, oh, man, run by this again. Why do we have to keep listening to this? If you're married or not married, it still applies because you can learn something either way. But it's Colossians 3:19. But guys, let's not be harsh with your wife. That's a Raul translation.
And, yeah, that's a paraphrase.
So that's what we're going to be talking about. And but in the meantime, I'd like to, in the studio with me today, if you haven't recognized the voice, I'm going to do the intro. Can I do it?
No. Knock yourself out, Raul. No,
I won't do it. It sounded really kind of dumb, actually. But anyway, Eric Zerps in the house. Eric, good to have you. The MIB, the man in brown. I remember the very first show you were saying, don't say too much about UPS and all that.
I know. I was worried about representing my company in that way.
I'm like, you're such a bad representative in such a manner. Man, you always look good, man. You're all, but that shirt's got a little scratch on the top here.
Yeah, the shoulder's worn out from the seatbelt.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's across my left shoulder. It's the seatbelt. So
A guy's worked a long time for a company when his shirt is worn out from the seatbelt that comes across there.
I've ordered some new shirts, but UPS is really good about getting your packages there on time. But
but their employees' packages, put it on the slow.
I'm still waiting on new shirts.
Well, everyone's ordering shirts because of the seatbelts wearing them out. But anyway, welcome, man. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks.
This was your topic of to be able to bring to the light on the show. But we also always like to kick things off with a little bit of encouragement for the men. And I know that you come very prepared. You're ready in season and out of season. And it's not like I have nothing to say because I can carry it, but it's not about me saying things all the time. Like to say to the men to encourage them?
What would I like to say to the men today? What comes to my mind is to hold every thought captive.
Ooh.
Yeah. And we do that for the glory of Jesus. We hold these thoughts captive because every sin of commission starts with a thought. You know, every time that we go out and we knowingly sin starts with the thought of doing that, of committing that sin.
Mm.
So if we truly are going to hold every thought captive to speak out loud, Jesus, I have just had a thought that I don't want. I ask that you would take it away from me and replace it with more of you,
mm-hmm.
You know, to draw closer, God, because, you know, I need you in this time. I'm having thoughts of sin, and I don't want those thoughts. Those thoughts can actually lead towards, you know, physically sinning against you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when we do that, Raul, when we actually hold these thoughts captive, you know, that's it's a really strong step in, right, you know, keeping from this sin. Mm-hmm. And we might also, at the same time, we might also need to, you know, to confess to somebody else, another brother, that, you know, that we're having these thoughts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a very integral part of the Christian life.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we are as sick as our secrets. And if we kind of hold things in, we have a tendency of those things kind of start to want to pop out in different ways in our lives, sometimes even physically. Sometimes we, you know, guys who are holding things back. I mean, I have no proof. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist or a medical doctor. But sometimes this can come out in manners in their physical being. In other words, either sick all the time, whether there's something wrong in their body, hernias, ulcers. Hernias, where did hernia come from? Anyway, but anyway, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
we know
these things will actually, you know, high blood pressure, all these things, they'll show in different ways. You know?
Yes, so. Well, we are a body-soul unity. Mm-hmm. And if there's, you know, something troubling the soul, if there's something going wrong, a secret sin hidden in there that's eating away at you, it can have physical manifestations in our body.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that every sickness that we have is a symptom of sin in our life.
Yes.
But the converse can be true, that the sin in our life can actually cause physical sickness.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but truly, it really is about taking these thoughts captive that lead to sin and just giving them over to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, like it says in Colossians, to nail them to the cross.
Yep. Yep. Well, that's a pretty good encouragement right there, because we forget about that sometimes. We need to be mindful of that and reminded of those things, because we are so busy. The world loves to keep us busy. And unless we are self-disciplined enough to be able to do that all the time, which we can all have little opportunities of growth even more, you know, in these areas. So anyway, all right, good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you want me to do the intro for you for the next part of the show here?
Go for it. You're dying to do the intro.
So. I am, but I've already forgot what I was going to say anyway, so it doesn't matter. So
what you were saying, it was the Eric Serbst show.
No, I'm not going there.
Okay.
Do you want to do it yourself?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Welcome. Yes. No.
Okay. Well, anyway, so we have let's hop right into this thing. You wanted to talk about Colossians 3:19, yeah, which in my ESV it says, "Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them." Period.
That's amazing. It says the exact same thing in my ESV.
Does it really? They must have been printed at the same time. Smart, yeah, Alec.
I know. Okay. But now, but what a great verse that is too, Raul. And there's a couple key words that in the verse that we really need to look at. One of them is love, and the other one is harsh.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes we will misunderstand what is meant by the word harsh in this, because, you know, we can look at that and think, you know, well, gosh, Raul, I've never hit my wife. You know, some of us can't say that.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us can. You know, me personally, I've never hit my wife. So I could look at that and say, well, gosh, I've never hit my wife, so I'm obviously not being harsh to her.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
We could look at it and look at it as, you know, raising my voice to some ungodly level and, you know, screaming at the top of my lungs, maybe saying hurtful things towards her.
Right.
You know, so, gosh, Raul, if I haven't done that, well, then I'm not really, I haven't been harsh to my wife, right? Well, you see, this can actually go quite a bit deeper than this, because there's harshness in so many other ways, you know. And, you know, we can spend a lot of time talking about this, but you know what? I'm gonna lead it off with this, because there's song lyrics, okay? So this is a song.
Are you gonna sing?
I'm not gonna sing, but
why not?
You don't want me to sing.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, I can't remember how the tune of this song goes, but it's a song by Shel Silverstein. Okay, I got it on my phone here. Put another log on the fire, cook me up some bacon and some beans, and go out to the car and change the tire, wash my socks and sew my old blue jeans, Come on, baby. You can fill my pipe and then go fetch my slippers and boil me up another pot of tea. Then put another log on the fire, babe, and come and tell me why you're leaving me. I know. And then it goes on. It goes on. There's a little bit more. Let me see. I lost my place. Now don't I let you wash the car on Sunday? And don't I warn you when you're getting fat? And ain't it going to take you fishing someday? Well, a man can't love a woman more than that. Now that's kind of how the world looks at, you know, what harshness might be.
Yeah.
You know, these very blatant things. And I thought I would lead it off with just a little bit of comedy. But, you know, sometimes the world gets it right in these songs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I love listening to Simon and Garfunkel and those lyrics written by Paul Simon. Sometimes he's just like, Paul, you are so wrong. But other times, like, man, he nailed that one.
Yeah.
You know, and this song, it kind of, with a little bit of levity, it demonstrates how we'll treat our wives.
And it's funny that you had mentioned about how we can actually hear that description of harsh, thinking it's certain things and how it's, you know. I want to read what it says in one of the dictionaries here online on harsh. And, of course, harsh can be used in a sense of unpleasantly rough or jarring to the senses, okay? And there are harsh things, physical harsh things. The other one, another description is cruel and or severe, okay? And this is one of the things that I think is the synonyms that they use here. Cruel, savage, barbarous. I don't even know what despotic means, but I've never heard of that word before. Dictatorial, tyrannical, ruthless, merciless, pitiless, relentless, unmerciful, severe, strict, intolerant, illiberal, iron-fisted, hard-hearted, heartless, unkind, inhuman, inhumane. Then you can go on to severe, stringent, draconian, firm, stiff, hard, stern, rigorous, grim, uncompromising, punitive, cruel, brutal. And then you can go a little bit further.
Oh,
austere,
my.
Grim, Spartan, hard, comfortless, inhospitable, stark, bleak, desolate. There you go.
Yeah, that's men. That's us, Raul.
That's how we can
that's
be.
That is how we can be, and it's by the grace of God that we are becoming more like Him instead of becoming more like this world. And you know, all those things on that list, I'm like, man, I might be able to relate to some of them, but I don't want that to be me. You know?
Yeah. The unfortunate thing is that even though we may be even a hint of harshness, okay, in our lives, that's all it takes. It's like lighting up a newspaper, you know. You have the little flame on the corner there, and before you know it, this whole thing is engulfed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's usually what takes place when it comes to sin in our lives and things that end up taking place. I mean, like this. It's like, why? Oh, my goodness. It's all about that. You know, when you mentioned 3:19 in Colossians, right? It reminds us of some of the things that it talks about just prior to that, or I should say afterwards. It talks about the husbands to love your wives, do not be harsh with them, right? But just prior to that, most guys like this one. It says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. They like that. Submit. You need to submit to me. It's kind of like the song you were singing there, you know?
Yeah. Come and
we only use part of that.
Tell me why you're leaving me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, after you get done doing that, throw another log on the fire too while you're at it.
Yeah,
then come over here and tell me why you're leaving me. Yeah, that. But anyway, we look at our wives sometimes as if we are the lead, we're the head, we're the dictator. I'm bigger, better, stronger than you, and you need to do certain things. We sometimes think that we're not this guy who is like a dictator, but this is my life, this is my family, my wife, and she needs to do what I want her to do. And we think that we're not really doing that.
Yeah.
But underneath, we totally are.
And you know what? I think that men really have a very high calling in this because, you know, yes, wives are called to submit to their husbands. Men are called to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we are to love with that perfect love, just the way Christ loved the church, that is very, very high calling. That is very difficult. That is something that is 24/7 intentionality.
Right.
You know,
right.
This isn't something that is going to come naturally. This is something that's very difficult, to love our wives as Christ loved the church, you know, to love our wives and to not be harsh with them.
Yep.
You know, yes, it says wives submit to your husbands, but we need to be the man that is worthy to be submitted to because he is following Jesus Christ. So
right.
If my wife is following me, I want to make sure that I'm following Jesus Christ so that we're going the same direction.
Right, right. But yet there's something about the simple fact of being able to have something under control. And we're not slamming men because we are men, okay? But the fact is that we don't live lives that are very looked upon favorably by our Creator sometimes. We treat our wives inappropriately. And it may not be the fact that we don't hit our wives, but do you talk down to her?
Mm-hmm.
Are you condescending, right? Do you actually put yourself in a position or put her in a position where she is embarrassed from the things that you end up saying, maybe in a group of people or maybe just another couple, okay, that make her look different or, you know, less than? And, you know, those are the ways that are sometimes very hurtful. Those are the ones that actually stay there a long, long time.
Come on, baby. Don't I warn you when you're getting fat?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or it's why like, are you wearing... like we're doing a favor.
Right. And yet, do we look at ourselves in the mirror, you know, to see, okay, Mr. Perfect, you know, why don't you take a little look here and see what's going on. But we try to justify everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And sometimes it is as a result of carrying things that we've saw in our parents growing up, maybe even treating our wives the same way, thinking that my mom loved me, so she obviously was okay with all of this, you know, being treated that way by my dad, and so maybe that's what I need to be doing here with my wife, you know.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Ralph, because that is such an important point that, you know, those of us with children, we have the opportunity and the responsibility to be a reflection of Christ's love to our wives. You know, when my daughters, you know, start courting and looking for that guy to marry, I want there to be a very high standard.
Mm.
You know, I want that standard to be, you know, a godly man who is going to love and cherish her. And really, I want that to come from what she has known and what she has seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in the same way, I want my son to have that same standard to love his future wife
mm-hmm.
in the way that he saw his dad loving his mom.
Yep. Yep.
You know, because we really are children of habit. And,
yes.
And we do the things that we have learned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we grew up in a family where there were, you know, snide comments, hurtful things, joking, you know, that was, oh, honey, I'm only joking, but you said something hurtful. You know, these are learned behaviors, and we can very easily pass them on to our kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that, you know, all is lost if you've, you know, made mistakes that way, because we're all, you know, while we are products of our upbringing, we all have also the opportunity to go our own way. We don't have to follow that path.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but that's why it is vitally important, Raul, that we are that example, you know, that we are not harsh with our wives, because we don't want that, you know, we don't want them to see that and to learn that. You know, we want them to see the love of Christ reflected from me to my wife, you know, to love with that perfect love. Because I have a very imperfect love.
Yes.
You know, and if I were to rely on my love, I would really fall short.
So when we come back from the break, let's talk about how do we recognize if we've actually maybe have been harsh with our wives, not knowing what we, not taking responsibility in a sense, but just maybe not even being ignorant about some of the things that we either say or do? How do we find out about what those things are? How do we know if we actually did become harsh with our wives? We'll talk about that when we get back. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
If God didn't want us to eat bacon, why in tarnation would he have made pigs? Ain't no way I'm giving up my bacon or ham or bratwurst from Hempler's Meats. They're just too good to go without. And Hempler's knows you care about your family's health, so they only use all natural ingredients. Make sure you have your Hempler sausage, dogs, and brats all ready to grill. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com. You'll be as happy as a room full of kids seeing a substitute teacher on test day.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com. caneslawnandgarden.com.
Faithplace.org, Biblical Advice Talk Radio.
When I started listening to you, I started finding that guidance of how to get closer with God and how to rely on him.
It keeps my feet grounded.
I listen to the podcast while I work.
It's a refreshing feel for me because there's a lot of times I get tunnel vision. You know, I think it's only happening to me, or this is the way that it has to be, and there, all of a sudden there's another perspective.
It's convenient. I can listen whenever I want, and I can stop, and I can rewind, and I can listen to old shows and listen to new shows. There's no one that I know that would tell me the things that you guys say in your podcast, the things that I needed to hear.
If you've been helped through our internet talk show ministry, Band of Brothers Radio, The Debbie Chavez Show, and The Carolyn Merriman Show, please make it possible for us to continue reaching out with the hope of Christ. Make a tax-deductible donation by clicking on the purple Donate button at faithplace.org.
Derek, get down from those steps. Come on, get down. Get down. Come on, get down. Get down, yes.
You know, it's funny because I watched Rocky IV last night. Well, not actually all of it, just the last 15 minutes of it, because that's the best part, is when he was fighting that big Russian guy and he says, "I must break you." So, anyways, just...
And here you get the song this morning.
Yeah.
You know, you're just...
But there's no need to watch the whole 2 hours in the movie, just the last 15 minutes. Yeah. That's all you need.
And everything on your truck today will be delivered very quickly today. You're going to be just on fire. Just going. Anyway, so how does a guy know? How can he tell when he's been harsh with his wife?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think is going to be an indicator is bitterness and resentment coming up in the marriage.
Hmm.
You know, and we're told to let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You know, this is a warning from Paul in Ephesians, and I think that it really ties into this whole thing about not being harsh with our wives.
Yes.
Because you know it's like a car tire, or not a car tire, but a truck tire. Okay, we've all driven down the freeway and we see the tire that's blown and it's shredded and lying in pieces. Well, you know, there's a tire that is 100% healthy. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. That tire is not going to blow out.
Yeah.
You know, almost never does a healthy tire just all of a sudden explode.
Right.
You see, but what can happen is this bitterness and resentment from the things that we have said and done, well, they can tend to, you know, wear that tire down.
Yes.
And that tread comes off. And then pretty soon the steel belt is showing. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, it blows.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's because we haven't been, you know, tending to the tire or even low maintenance. If we haven't been maintaining that tire and the pressure goes out,
mm-hmm.
well, what happens is that tire gets hot and it blows, mm-hmm. you know. And then we see the evidence of it, you know, the shredded tire line on the
right.
side of the road. And that's
right.
kind of like what can happen in our marriages if we're not, you know, if we're not maintaining, you know, through, you know, praying with and for
yes.
our wives.
Yes.
That's keeping that air in that tire,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that you know, we're not wearing the tread down by allowing, you know, bitterness and envy to come into our marriages, because you know that is the kind of thing that wears over time.
Yes, you know, there's a different. Even I mean, sometimes we can be very not even understanding of why our wives would think some of the things that we say aren't funny, or why everyone else is laughs about it. Sweetheart, I was just using that just to kind of get everybody. You know, if you're at a gathering, whether it's a whatever it is, whether it's a picnic or a dinner with another couple or some other couples, and then you say something that wasn't necessarily meant for other people to hear about or to talk about, and yet you bring it up so that you would be highlighted in
mm-hmm.
a sense because you wanted attention. Okay. Yeah, you may not know that. You're going to sit here and be upset with me saying, why is he talking like that? Well, because what it does is it does belittle our wives, okay, to say things without them knowing that you're going to say something, or whether they get an okay, or why couldn't she say it instead of you, you know? We don't
yeah.
think about these sort of things. And this is our, you know, here's the one of the things I think is so, so tough, that we don't think before we say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what
oh,
is
yeah, that's
the,
gotten me in trouble.
Think it through. Thoroughly before you even speak it. Otherwise, don't speak it, especially if you have a habit of saying, putting your foot in your mouth, in a sense, you know, or just put some peppermint on your foot before you do that, and then be prepared for your wife to end up not wanting to speak to you for a while. But yet
yeah.
sometimes guys say, hey, I like doing that because then now she's quiet. She's not going to want to talk to me, and it's all okay. Everything will be fine. She'll get over it, type of thing.
Yeah, and it's... You're right, Raul. It's so easy to do that, you know, especially for those of us who consider ourselves to be witty, you know,
yes.
and we like to crack jokes. Well, you know, there's comedic timing. Well, a lot of the times that timing doesn't allow you to think through what you're going to say.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really easy to say something hurtful in those times. It's also really easy to say something hurtful when, you know, one of the easiest ways to lift ourselves up is to bring somebody else down.
Yes.
But we're not actually lifting ourselves up. We're just lowering somebody else down below us
exactly.
by saying something hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes us feel a little bit better for just a little bit, you know. And it's really easy to say, you know, these really, even little small things, you know, to allow these things to come out of our mouth that are hurtful.
Yes.
And we might not even think that it's hurtful because we haven't really thought it through.
Right.
You
right.
know.
And it's so important because when we start to think of what we are about to say, okay, and the reason that we're saying it, we know that we probably ought not to be saying it. I mean, we know, but you do it anyway because you want that vicarious pleasure of that you're going to get from people smiling at you or laughing at you for saying what you're saying. When actually some of them might just be laughing because they don't want to be cruel, but they're probably thinking in their head, what a jerk, you know?
Yeah. and here's something to be mindful of. You know, what if we do say these things that, you know, that tear our wives down? Well, guess what? We're also tearing ourselves down because
mm-hmm.
we are one with our wives. All right. I mean, we can go right back to Genesis. God causes a sleep to fall on Adam, takes out a rib, forms a woman. Then Adam says, this is woman because she was taken from man.
Mm-hmm.
And then for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He will cleave to his wife, and the two
yep.
shall become one flesh.
Yep.
You know, this is the order of things.
Yep.
You know, that my wife is a part of me.
Yes.
And if I do anything hurtful that tears down my wife, you know what? I'm also doing that to me.
Yeah.
Because she's part of me. Right. So I mean, that's just kind of another perspective on that, because we forget about how intimate this union is. You know, that anything that hurts my wife should also hurt me.
Yes.
You know, anything that grieves God should grieve me. In the same way, anything that hurts my wife should hurt me. Mm-hmm. And but then I wind up being the one that causes pain.
You know, it's funny, we end up not really realizing sometimes, you know, so often we hear that, whether it be from our pastors or ministry leaders or people who have been on this walk, and they're gifted, or I want to say their responsibility is to remind all of us what we ought to be doing, okay? Not out of guilt, but this is what God prefers and how he prefers us to be living, okay? In the covenant of marriage, our wives are our helpmates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that doesn't mean necessarily that they are to be your slave, okay, but they're your helpmates. See, God has given man an opportunity to have a vision, and the vision is what is a godly vision, not a how can I best get my second million or my first million, and how can she help me do that? No, it's about being able to raise a family, to be able to live in a godly manner, to be able to let others know of that, how Jesus has affected your lives, and how he can be their hope for those who don't have hope or don't know Jesus. Getting into the Word of God, that's where you're directed. So get into the Word so you see what it is that he wants you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know what the plan is, what God's plan is. And then when you see that, then all of a sudden you realize that, okay, this is my helpmate. So if I'm doing God's will, she's going to be there to be able to assist. She may be better at certain things that you're not, where you're not. Where you're weak,
yeah,
she is strong. And vice versa. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden she's supposed to be just you're to help each other.
Yeah.
To be able to, anyway.
Well, we talked about submit earlier. Well, you know what? How about mutual submission? The Bible also speaks of that.
Yes, it does.
That we submit to each other, you know. So it's not all about, in fact, it's none about the wife just being a slave to the husband and submitting to his authoritarian dogmatic assertions, just so I can use the biggest words possible and make myself sound smart.
In your own mind.
But, you know, how about this, Raw? How about this as being harsh? When we ask our wives to share us,
yes,
you know, when we, you know, when we look at another woman with lust, we're actually forcing our wives to share us. When we, you know, go on the internet and we, you know, we go to one of those websites that we shouldn't be at,
yep,
you know, and we're viewing pornographic material. And what we're doing is we're making our wives share us.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I see that as being a very harsh thing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's ripping. It's ripping at that marriage. It's taking something that is meant to be, you know, holy and pure, you know, that this union between the husband and wife, and saying, except I'm not going to give you this part of it.
Yes. You know, you tapped into an area here where so often we try to justify our behavior and everything that we're doing so that we can receive what we desire to receive, okay, for our pleasure, for our pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Not thinking that, hey, she doesn't know about it. It's no harm to her, but it does do harm. Because all this stuff leads to certain things, leads to you masturbating and making love to yourself rather than to your wife,
mm-hmm,
or with your wife. And you do that so often that there's nothing that she can do to be able to please you because it's not quite the same. And it's like, oh, swear, let's watch these movies together and then if she's in total agreement with that sort of thing and thinks that that's something that you come together and agree with, that might be just what needs to take place. But the likelihood is that she's not going to. So what's going to happen is that you're going to end up going in a direction where you're trying to get your will in there. This is what we need to do, sweetheart. So anyway, speaking of sweetheart, my producer's actually saying it's time for a break. So let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Continue talking about this can of worms that you just opened up. Thanks a lot, Eric.
All right.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Hi, this is Raul Chavez, founder of Band of Brothers for Christ in Bellingham. And if you're a man living in our area, I'm inviting you to enjoy a free barbecue and a uniquely inspiring atmosphere for men on Tuesday nights. The men of Band of Brothers for Christ come from dozens of different churches and gather together at 6 p.m. every Tuesday night at Christ Community Church, located on the corner of Guide and Horton Roads. You'll enjoy a time of eating together, developing meaningful relationships with other men, getting inspired and equipped by God's Word, hearing amazing, radically transparent testimonies from other courageous men. Be courageous yourself and come and check us out on Tuesday night. You'll find more information at bandofbrothersforchrist.org. bandofbrothersforchrist.org. Looking forward to seeing you on a Tuesday night. There are a lot of frustrations in any given day, and you can't do much about most of them. But one frustration you can eliminate is unreliable or sluggish internet service. StarTouch Broadband Services is Washington State's largest microwave internet service provider. They would love to help you gain reliable, super quick internet service for your home or business. Get a free estimate from StarTouch and learn more about their services at StarTouch.com.
Who am I that the eyes that see our sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Eric and Raul in the studio. And boy, I had everyone on me said, did you really mean to say that? Well, I want to clarify something. I know that I made a statement about before the break, as a husband and wife would be in agreement. It might have sounded like I meant in watching pornography. No, that's not what I meant to say. That's what might have been what I said. That's not what I meant to say. The fact is that I believe when husband and wife can come in agreement on being in agreement on what they do in the sex, Wait a minute. Let me finish. In the bedroom with your wife, she's in agreement with doing whatever it is that you want to do. That's cool. But watching pornography, no, that's not cool. Okay. That exactly. is, I thought it's, I believe it's a sin. It's adultery. And that is not cool. But when a husband and wife are in agreement on what they want to do to feel good with each other, if there's total agreement on both parts, go for it. That's really what it was coming down to. Now I got messed up a little bit here because you mentioned pornography to start off, and I thought, okay, I'd go a different direction at first. Not necessarily, but anyway. So
I'm glad we got that cleared up.
Yeah, I don't know if we did or not, but anyway. We lost many people after that.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, but you've hit on something important here, because we really do need to be going to, I guess you could call it the least common denominator. We don't want to, husband and wife, we don't want to force the other one to do something in the bedroom that they're not comfortable with.
Right.
Because this is supposed to be a blessed union. You know, and it's supposed to be a time of wonderful intimacy.
Right.
But as husbands, I know, because we have viewed pornography, we have seen things, and we're like, oh, man, I would love to bring this into the bedroom.
Right.
but, you know, my wife is not comfortable with this. Well, I'll convince her. I'll, you know, I'll just tell her that she needs to submit to me and do this.
Right.
You know, so then now what we are doing is we're violating the sanctity of the bed, of the marriage bed. And we are, in fact, being harsh with our wives in this way, because we are, you know, we're using our authoritarian nature to direct them to do something that they're not comfortable with.
And once again, it comes back down to thinking about what it is you're about to say. If you think it through thoroughly, and honestly, if you ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in this, you're not going to go there. Or you're going to really make a decision, say, I'm going there, God, but then you're going to have consequences, there's no doubt. Okay?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not even a bad thing. In fact, it's a very good thing to even pray before you are intimate with your wife, you know, because it is, you know, sex is designed by God. You know, it's a good thing inside of the marriage covenant.
Yes.
So it's not to pray to God that you would just be, that he would be blessing the union, that he would be blessing this coming together that he has designed.
Yes.
You know, it seems like a really weird thing. Oh, gosh, I can't pray to God before I have sex, you know.
We can't bring that in there.
He might tell me. Yeah. But you know what? I mean, to set the tone for that time.
It's actually a very good thing to do, actually, believe it or not. And it doesn't have to be out loud, and you don't have to light candles and sing hymns and everything before you get going. You might. I don't know. You know, but
you know,
the fact is that
however it works out, you're better.
However it works out. One thing I want to, because I want to be able to hit a couple other areas, too, where we talk about being harsh to our wives, okay? And it comes out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. You know, it talks about in there about submitting to our wives, submitting, and then it says, men, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and then, but love them as you love your own bodies, okay? And, of course, that means that, hey, if you're hungry, your body's saying it's hungry, you feed it, you know? If it's cold, you give... put clothes on, and if it's dirty, you clean and you wash and all of that. So you take care of her like you would take care of yourself, okay?
Yeah.
So as a result of that, you go on a little bit further, but here's an area here a lot of guys don't talk about every now and then, but you end up hearing it in counseling sessions a lot of times. It says in verse 31, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot there. But what I want to talk about is that when we're talking about cleaving, you know, when you're actually, you leave your mother and father, or in this case, your father and mother. Dad, not such a big deal. Nah, Dad, sorry. I'm going with my wife. Mom, sometimes can be a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
Too often I've seen where our relationships with our mothers, we end up wanting to kind of carry that same scenario, that same feeling sometimes with your wife. I want you to take care of me like my mom took care of me. My mom makes really good cookies, and can you try to get make cookies like she makes them? With spaghetti. She doesn't mix everything together. She actually has the pasta separate and the sauce separate. You know, can you do it like my mom?
It's time to cut the cord.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. That creates so much, and it may not be a big deal. She said, well, I'll see what I can do, you know, especially if you're youthful in your marriage, but it doesn't have to be. If you're still doing it after 17 years of marriage, shame on you. Shame on you, okay? Because really, that is when we're talking about, hey, you need to leave them. That's what it means. It doesn't mean you can't sit there and appreciate your mom's cooking when you guys go over there or she comes over and brings something. No, that's fine. But there's sometimes umbilical is hard to cut.
Yeah, and we don't leave one mommy to be attached to another mommy, you know. But, yeah, that cutting that umbilical cord, you know, it's a metaphor for separating ourselves from that because now we are united with our wife.
Yes. Yes.
You see, and, you know, when we can do things where, you know, we might have a disagreement with our wife, well, what what will a guy do? Well, he'll call his mom and make sure that his mom agrees with him. Well, honey, guess what? I just called my mom and she says that you're wrong. You know?
Don't go there.
Oh, no. You know, it's not that it's wrong to still be, you know, calling our parents and, you know, to be in touch with them, to seek them for advice on things. That's not wrong. But when it creates a division between you and your wife, when you hold one against the other.
Yes. Yes.
You know, what is going to happen there? Well, it's going to cause a bitterness and resentment in the marriage. It's going to cause that tire to wear down.
And it's going to hit a small little rock, and all of a sudden, boom.
Kaboom.
That's it, yes.
And your marriage is going to be like a shredded tire on the side of the highway.
1 Peter chapter 3. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. You know, sometimes we wonder what's going on. We're praying for family members that are ill, or a situation, or other people, and we're going, Lord, why are you not listening to my prayers, and so on and so forth. We need to do a little inventory of where we are with the Lord. If we have secret sin in our lives, our prayers are not being heard. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's another portion right here. It says, if we're not honoring our wives, okay?
Yeah.
If we're not honoring our wives, our prayers may be hindered.
Well, I heard a pastor recently put it this way. He said, if our Christianity doesn't work at home, our Christianity doesn't work.
Amen.
Because it truly is, you know, our Christianity in the home is a direct reflection of our entire spiritual walk.
Yes.
You know, and if we, you know, it's one thing to be a Christian on Sunday, you know, to go to and do your church thing, you know, it's something entirely different to bring that home and to be that man, to be a man of integrity who follows God all the other days of the week, all 7 days of the week, including that Sunday or whatever day you go to church.
Yes.
So, it's really, it's about being that man that follows after God and doing it not just for the little bit, but, you know, all the time. You know, to pray without ceasing, we're told.
Yes.
You know, to have that attitude of prayer that it just continues on through the day, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
You know, this is an ongoing thing. It's not just a Sunday thing, and it's not just so that you look good to other people who, you know, you want to make sure that they see you drop something in the offering plate when you pass it by. You know, there's a real faith and there's a said faith.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, the reflection of that is going to be found in the home.
Okay. One more point I wanted to get through here, because this one also comes up an awful lot and in ways of being harsh to your wife. Okay. And this is out of 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for their relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Brother, if you're not working, if your wife is working, and you are just being a sluggard, that's up to you. You know whether you are or not. Brother, that is not biblical. That is not what God had intended for marriage, the covenant of marriage to be under and about. I'm not talking about guys who are disabled and not able to do certain things. I'm talking about if you're directly just saying, you know, I'm just going to ride this train for a little while.
Yep. Like, I got a gravy train. I got a wife who's going to take it all in, take all the, you know, make all the money. And hey, you know what? I'm going to get that new Xbox game and sit in my underwear all day and play.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yes. But anyway,
you get where we're going.
That's a whole deal there. It's another topic of its own. Anyway, good topic today, brother. I'm glad that we shared it together and able to stumble and laugh about at ourselves. And let's not take ourselves so serious as to just know that there is a Creator who loves us and he wants our attention. Would you pray for our brothers today?
Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would strengthen us today to truly love our wives as Christ loved the church, that you, Jesus, would be our example. In Jesus' name, amen.